A story with pictures. A six-part thriller for radio by Colin Shaw. With Freddie Jones as Sir Marcus Martin. Part 5, Crossman and Friends.
Our one clue was the telephone number of Edith Baumann, the daughter of the German officer from whose house in Munich Sir Marcus had recovered the sketches at the end of the war. She was one of the few people with the knowledge and motive to steal them. What we didn't know when we arrived in Amsterdam was that the actual thieves, Stephen Emmett, Sir Marcus's neighbour, and his girlfriend Jane, were already there, trying to hand over the sketches to an American named Crossman who had blackmailed them. Their trail had led them to break into the office of a Mr. Cowper's, who had been murdered on a houseboat used by Crossman.
What's on the desk?
Papers. Letters. This must have been Cowper's office. There, look. Here on the letterhead.
Stephen, listen.
What is it?
Come out here, onto the landing. Now listen.
It's a murderer.
It's slowing. Oh, Stephen, it's going to turn in.
Go into the kitchen. You can see from there.
I can see two people coming off the boat. They're coming into the house.
Well, they may not come up here. Get behind the door. I'll wait in the office for them, whoever they are.
Oh, let me come with you.
No. You stay here. There's just a chance if they do come up, one of us can get away. If you have to hit anyone, make sure you hit them hard.
Right.
Hold it. I thought we'd close the door.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. Hell, I closed it myself.
You think someone's been in?
Come on. Whoever you are, you can come out. I've got a gun, and there are two of us. Or do you want us to come for you?
All right, Crossman. We'll come out. Jane?
Yes.
Come out onto the landing. Well, Mr. Emmett. And Miss Fleming. I'm glad to meet you at last, Miss Fleming. You're as pretty as your pictures. You remember Leo, Mr. Emmett?
Yes. I'm glad you're back in circulation, Mr. Reuters. All right, Crossman, what are you going to do with this? Kill us, like you did Cowper's?
Mr. Emmett, ours is a simple transaction. All I want out of you is the sketches. And after that, you can go to hell as far as I'm concerned. Where are the sketches?
Well, as long as you keep that gun pointing at me, I'm not going to tell you.
Perhaps Miss Fleming could be persuaded to tell us.
No.
I'm sure Leo could help you change your mind. However, this is not the place for it. You come with us now.
So where are you going to take us?
You'll find out. Now, you first, Miss Fleming, downstairs, please. And then you, Mr. Emmett. Helen, see if they've got the English papers in yet.
Right, Sir Marcus.
What time did Jorgen say he was coming?
8:45. He sounded very agitated.
Wait, that now. Shall we see him here or up in my room?
Down here. If we get him up there, we may never get rid of him.
They don't expect the English papers for another hour.
Damn, thank you anyway.
There's Jorgen's now. There, by the door.
Head him off, Helen. He's going to the desk.
Mr. Jorgen's? Marcus is over here.
He hasn't heard her.
I shall catch him at the desk. There you are. She's talking to him now. Good.
Mr. Jorgens has some very odd news for you, Tim.
What is it, Mr. Jorgens?
Good morning, Mr. Lloyd. Sir Marcus.
Please, Mr. Jorgens, won't you sit down?
Thank you.
What is this odd news?
Can you tell me, Mr. Lloyd, where you obtained the telephone number you wrote down for me yesterday?
I'm not sure I can tell you that.
Because you do not know, or because you won't tell me?
It's a private matter.
Perhaps I should tell you something more. Then you can decide if it remains a private matter.
Go on.
Last week, on one of the canals, A houseboat caught fire. It happens from time to time. People are often careless, but a man inside the houseboat was burned to death.
Oh, how horrible.
Very horrible, Mrs. Somers. Since his arms and legs were apparently bound together.
Good heavens.
He must have been left there to burn.
Do the police know why?
He used the houseboat as a place of business. Perhaps not very honest business.
Look, how does this tie up with the telephone number?
The number you gave me is the number, well, was the number of this houseboat.
Are you sure?
You can ring it for yourself if you wish. The police will answer.
Did you speak to the police?
No. As soon as I realized it was the police, I hung up. I did not want trouble for myself or for you. There was some conflict for me between my duty as a journalist and my duty as a citizen. The journalist won. But naturally, I am anxious to know how you were given the number.
As a journalist?
As a journalist. And as a citizen.
All I can tell you, Mr. Jurgens, is that the number was given me in New York. I hope to use it to make contact with someone.
And you can tell me neither who gave you the number, nor the name of the person you wanted to contact?
I prefer not to.
I think you should tell the police.
Yes. I understand that.
You will telephone me, Mr. Lloyd, when you have made up your mind.
Yes, I will.
Good morning, then, Mr. Lloyd. Sir Marcus.
Good morning.
Mr. Jurgens, let me go with you to the door.
Yeah, there's no need, Mrs. Somers. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Well, Marcus, what do you make of it?
I suppose Borman could not have got the number wrong.
No. His secretary wrote it down for me. Well, what do we do now?
If it was murder, then we ought to tell the police.
If there is a connection between Borman's sister and the murder, then the police may find their way to her before we do.
And if there's a connection between Borman's sister and the theft of the sketches, that might mean that we should never see the sketches again.
Listen, there's something bothering me.
What is it?
Well, do you remember I offered to go with Mr. Jurgens to the door of the hotel, and he said no, there was no need, so I didn't go with him. But I did watch him. There's a man polishing one of the cars on the other side of the street. I saw Jurgens make a signal to him as he walked past.
Why were you watching him?
Something that happened at the desk when he arrived. I was quite close to him and I spoke his name, Mr. Jurgens, twice. But I think it was my voice and not his name that made him turn round. I don't think that his name is really Jurgens.
I was given the number by a lawyer, the brother of the woman I was hoping to get in touch with.
She is Dutch, this woman?
No, Inspector Kofels. She's American. But apparently she comes to Holland quite often, and that's the number her office has for her. She's a lawyer, like her brother.
What is her name?
Borman. B-A-U-M-A-N-N. Her first name is Edith.
How do we know that this number is the number on the houseboat?
We rang it. At least a Dutch friend rang it. He said it was answered by the police.
Did this friend speak to the police?
No, he hung up.
Then how did he know it was the houseboat's number? The police did not announce the fact.
I suppose he must have checked it in some other way. He said he had friends in the post office.
Mr. Lloyd, will you tell me the name of your friend?
Do you really need to know, Inspector?
It is a question of murder. It is not a trifle.
He's a journalist.
Yes, but his name, please.
Jurgens. Mike Jurgens.
Is he an old friend?
No. As a matter of fact, we met him only yesterday at the airport. He said he'd seen us on the flight from London.
Why should he single you out?
I think he may have seen himself with a story.
Well, he asked to interview Sir Marcus.
Ah, I understand.
Have you heard of him, Inspector?
No, but that does not mean very much.
Well, is there anything else you want to know?
No, thank you. But if I should want to speak to you, I hope you will tell me if you propose to leave the country.
Oh, of course.
And that's my extension number, and my clerk will always take messages.
That feels better anyway.
It's a pity. I like the idea of you with a beard.
Shh. I think someone's arrived. I heard a door shut. Oh, voices. Crossmans. I can't make out what they're saying.
Well, I wish they'd say what they mean to do with us.
No, no, wait. Listen. Yes, I know one of the other voices. Van Helder, that's it.
Who's Van Helder?
He runs the firm that services my plane.
Oh, I know.
Based at the airport. It's him. He's the link.
What, you mean Van Helder told Crossman about the boat?
Yeah.
And about the smuggling?
Yes. I used him to take the goods sometimes. Run them down to the coast. Oh, damn him!
Someone's coming down the corridor.
Come on. You're wanted. She wants to see you.
She?
You will see. Come on. Both of you. Straight on. Into that room. There.
Good morning, Mr. Emmett. Come in. Good morning, Miss Fleming.
Who the hell are you?
I know she is, Stephen. She's the woman who drove the car. She's the woman in the boat with him, with Crossman.
Allow me to introduce my wife, Mr. Emmett.
Your wife?
Edith Borman.
What's he doing here, Van Helder?
He's a business colleague. Your friend, Sir Marcus, is in Amsterdam.
What?
Mr. Van Helder has been helping to keep him out of my way.
I am sorry, Mr. Emmett, that our business relationship has reached this small crisis. However, who knows, it may be possible one day to revive it.
I'm damned if I think so.
Jan?
Yes, Mrs. Crossman.
It's time you went to telephone Sir Marcus.
Yes, Mrs. Crossman.
Sir Marcus believes that Mr. Van Helder is actually Mr. Jorgens, an interested journalist anxious to interview him about his television program.
Then we ought not to delay him.
Goodbye then, Mr. Emmett, Miss Fleming. I hope that we can meet again one day.
It was you who drove the car that day, wasn't it? You killed Julie!
Leo, make the young woman sit down.
Oh.
Yes,
no.
I was driving the car. I'm sorry that it was necessary for the accident to happen. But she did not behave wisely. If she'd done the work she was paid to do, then she would still be alive.
What a pity that you couldn't explain that to her.
Oh, but we did, Miss Fleming. My husband did. But then she insisted on telephoning you, and doing so from far too public a place. She was very foolish. I'm really sorry that you and I have to meet in this way. It's always a shame when a sideshow becomes confused with the main business.
What do you mean, a sideshow?
I meant the recovery of the sketches from Sir Marcus. That was a private family matter. He stole them from my family. They were taken from our apartment in Munich, where my mother had left them. We were forced to flee after my father was killed. I know the date on which it happened. Do you want to know it? The 25th of February, 1946. He took two American soldiers to the apartment and ransacked it. Then, when he had found the sketches, he bullied his way out of the building again.
Who told you this?
My mother, she told me. Not long before she died last year. She'd known of the sketches ever since my father brought them back from Spain in 1939. He saved them from being destroyed there. And then this man, this Sir Marcus Martin, he took them away. Well, I wanted them back. They belong to my family.
Well, if that's a sideshow, what's the main business?
No, Mr. Emmett, that's none of your business. In fact, it's quite useless information as far as you're concerned.
It was the main business which got Julie killed, wasn't it? And Mr. Cowper's?
Yes, and anyone else who gets in the way.
Edith, we ought to be collecting the sketches.
Where are the sketches, Mr. Emmett?
Now, they're at the hotel, in a safe deposit. They need a signature, two signatures, that is, mine and Miss Fleming's.
You're lying. One signature, yours, isn't that it?
You'll have to find out, won't you?
I mean to.
Sorry, Jane.
George, you take Mr. Emmett to the hotel. Get the paintings and come back here. Leo, you'll stay with Miss Fleming. Look after her. If you have any trouble, shoot her.
Yes, Mrs. Crossman.
George, you better get going. We'll meet here at 12.
Right, Edith.
Make yourself comfortable in here, Miss Fleming. There's hot coffee and rolls if you want to have any more breakfast. Watch her carefully, Leo. I think she may be more dangerous than the man.
Mr. Emmett, what is the problem?
There's no problem. I wanted to collect a box from your safe.
You have the receipt?
Yes, I have it here. There you are.
Thank you.
It was labelled.
I shall look for it.
Why does everything take so long?
You've got to be patient, Crossman.
Oh, no, I don't.
This is the box, I think, Mr. Abbott.
Thank you.
And I will have the receipt. Thank you. Perhaps you will sign for the box? Uh-huh. Here, in this book.
Right. There you are.
Thank you, Mr. Abbott. You are not checking out yet, are you?
No, I expect to be here a little longer.
That is all right, Mr. Emmett, but the summer is a busy time, and if you were planning
I'll
to...
I'll let you know.
Right. Back to the car.
Have a good day, Mr. Emmett.
I'll take the box.
No, I'll keep the box. You're forgetting the photographs. No deal without the photographs.
All right, but hurry, for God's sake, hurry!
They are taking a long time.
Are they? I don't know. I don't even know where we are. You didn't tell us when you brought us here last night.
No.
Leo, how well do you know Mrs. Crossman?
I've known her husband a long time.
Oh.
After the war, he was a GI. She's not my kind of woman.
What is your kind of woman?
Not so hard.
She's harder than her husband.
You might think so.
They may have been caught, Mr. Crossman and Stephen.
Too bad for you if they have.
Well, what about making some more coffee, hmm?
Help yourself if you want. Only keep the kitchen door open.
Give me the pot, then. Thank you. Oh, thank God for that. Oh, no keys. Oh, you must have some keys. Oh, for God's sake, don't wake up. Keys. I'll have that gun anyway. Oh, no keys, keys. Perhaps they didn't lock the door. Oh, damn. That is locked.
Here, come back.
I've got your gun, Mr. Reuters. Stay there. Don't you move. Now, where are the keys to the front door?
I haven't got any keys.
Well, Well, we'll get you out of the way to begin with. You can get into that cupboard.
Well, no air. I will die.
You won't be there all that long. Get in.
Whatever you do to me, she's after me. She won't let you.
Oh, damn, there's no lock on it. Hold on, Mr. Reuters. I'm going to push you over.
You'll kill me.
No, I don't think so. Just a few bruises. Now we shall wait until the others come back.
When Tim and I had seen Inspector Koofles, we returned to the hotel to find Sir Marcus wasn't in his room. However, he'd left a note telling us he'd gone to look at art galleries in a street nearby. So we went in search of him.
There he is. Sir Marcus.
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 Ah, you found my note then.
Yes, thanks. Ah. Now listen.
Look.
Marcus.
Look, that mouse in the corner of the window. I went in to ask the price.
Yes.
Works out at about £2,000.
Gracious.
Had the heart to tell them that it wasn't worth 10. Any fool could tell it's a fake.
Marcus, we're being followed.
Followed.
We only noticed him as we left the hotel. We don't know if that was the first time or whether he'd been around earlier.
We don't know who he is or whose side he may be on.
Jorgens is very persistent. He telephoned me while you were out. I've said I'll see him this afternoon. Half an hour should be plenty. About four. Where is this tale of yours?
Looking into that furniture shop on the other side of the street. He's got a good view of us in the glass.
Ah, yes, I can see him. Might be anything, police, anything.
Tim, look, there's Stephen Emmett.
Where?
In that car. The second car, that's the traffic lights. Huh? You've seen Stephen before, Tim, you know him.
Yes, I met him at the recitals.
Well, they're driving off, I don't think he saw
us. Who was driving? Did you see?
Nobody I recognize.
No, they stopped again, behind that tram.
Tim, run and catch them up.
Well, I don't know whether I can...
Come on!
Right, here goes.
Oh, tram's moving. Be careful, Jim.
There's another set of lights beyond. They're turning red.
Good morning, Mr. Emmett.
What? Oh, yes, Mr. Lloyd, isn't it?
That's right.
On business. Sir Marcus with you?
Yes. He and Helen are on the opposite side of the street. I spotted you and thought I'd come over and say good morning.
Tell your friend to stand aside. The lights are changing.
Yes, I'm sorry we can't stop, but... give these to Marcus.
What are we? I run, for God's sake, run!
That was very unwise, Mr. Emmett. Get out, Mr. Emmett. Edith will be very angry.
She's going to be as angry with you as she is with me.
We shall see. Go in, Mr. Emmett.
Jane, where are you?
Where is she?
I'm here, Mr. Crossman. Come on, Stephen, get downstairs.
Oh, where's Edith Crossman?
Hasn't returned. And Leo's in the cupboard. I put him there, flat on his face.
But...
When Crossman comes round, he can let him out.
Well, congratulations.
No more questions until we're downstairs.
Now, wait a minute. Let's see if we can find the photographs. If Crossman lives
here... There isn't time, Stephen.
Look in that desk. Just pull the drawers out. And I'll look over here.
There's nothing here.
Oh, damn.
Stephen, we've got to go. If she found us here, she'd kill us.
Yes, I think she probably would. All right, come on then. We'd better use the service stairs. Don't want to meet Mrs. Crossman at the foot of the lift.
They're all here. And undamaged.
They're still marvellous. Even here.
Absolutely, they are.
The only difficulty is, how do we get them home?
Take them with us.
Yes, and if we're stopped by the customs...
It doesn't often happen.
It only has to happen once.
I'll answer it. Sir Marcus Martin's room. Who? Just a moment, please.
What is it?
Stephen Emmett's downstairs with Jane Fleming. They want to see you.
Well, send them up.
Hello. Will you send them up, please? Thank you.
We'd better tidy these away. Tim, give me a hand with these. And now, you two. What happened?
Well, it isn't very difficult. Jane and I, we stole the paintings.
You what?
With someone's help. It doesn't matter who.
But why? Stephen, for God's sake, why?
We were being blackmailed. I might as well tell you. Jane and I have been running goods across the North Sea. I've used the aircraft occasionally, but it's been the boat mainly.
But how long has this been going on?
A couple of years. There seemed to be easy money in it. There was, too. As much business as we could cope with.
Go on.
Now, someone got on to us. They had photographs of us loading up, bringing stuff ashore. They said they'd send the photographs to the police if we didn't get hold of them. The sketches, that is.
Who were they?
Well, the man who met me originally was called Crossman. But he wanted the sketches for his wife.
His wife?
What was her name? Her first name?
She killed Julie
Edith.
And Cowper.
Edith. Scared stiff of her, he was.
Marcus, it's the same woman. Edith Crossman, Edith Bowman.
What was Jane saying about killing?
There was a girl who worked in a travel agency. And we think that she was going to tell us something. She'd worked for the man, Cowper's, the man who was killed on the houseboat. Oh, do you know about that? Yes, well, I think that was what she wanted to tell us about.
But then Mrs. Crossman ran her down and killed her.
And we saw it, Marcus. We saw it all happen.
When I saw you this morning, when you gave me the sketches...
I collected them from our hotel with Crossman. It was Crossman who was driving. I simply threw them at you on impulse. Anything by then to stop him having them for her.
Where have you just come from?
Well, they had us both locked up in an apartment, but then Steve went to collect the sketches with Crossman, and I managed to knock out the man who was supposed to be guarding me, and... Well, when Stephen came back, we both escaped. And we came straight here.
You weren't followed?
Not as far as I know. Look, what are you going to do? Look, Marcus.
Hello. Could I speak to Inspector Coofles, please?
What?
Extension 81.
Hey, what are you doing?
Yes, I will. Look, don't worry, it's not about you.
Inspector, this is Tim Lloyd. Yes. Can you tell me something? Mrs. Summers and I were followed this morning. Yes. Have you had anyone following us? Oh, right. No, thank you. Goodbye. He says no. He had no one following us. So, the man downstairs must be working with Jürgens.
Van Helder. The man's name is Van Helder, not Jürgens.
You mean he's not a journalist? No. He joined us at Schiphol, saying he was.
He's coming to interview me this afternoon.
He works, or worked, at Schiphol. But he's up to here with the rest of them.
The Crossmans must have put him onto us as soon as they knew Tim had been given the telephone number. The sooner we get Stephen and Jane out of here, the better.
Where will you go?
There's a chance we can get to the boat before they do. I'd rather be picked up by the British police. I'll get away this evening with a little luck.
Damned if I know I should be helping you. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. How would you like to have the sketches?
I never want to see them again.
Well, it's my turn for a little blackmail now. You get them safely back to England, and I'll forget all about your burglary.
But I may not make it. Crossman may get to us first.
I can't just walk through customs with them.
Jane?
Well, yes, I suppose so.
Tim, get that small suitcase of mine in the bedroom.
No, I'll get it.
You can take the sketches in that. I'll carry the empty box just in case Mrs. Crossman follows us.
I've thrown everything out onto the bed.
Good. Now take the sketches out of their box and put them into the suitcase.
Right.
That's it. Thank God they fit.
You two had better use the staff entrance. Right. There's a staff lift at the back.
Have you got any money?
Yes. We can manage.
Off you go, then.
Well, we'll see you back in England.
I hope so.
Goodbye.
What do we do now?
Pack. We ought to get out. I'll ring the inspector and tell him that Mrs. Crossman is Mrs. Bowman. I don't think I want to meet that lady.
Perhaps, Tim, you're not going to have much choice.
That was the fifth part of A Story with Pictures by Colin Shaw. Sir Marcus Martin was played by Freddie Jones, Helen Summers, Kate Binchy, Tim Lloyd, James Bryce, Stephen Emmett, Nigel Anthony, and Jane Fleming, Amanda Murray. Nigel Graham played Van Helder, and Geoffrey Collins, Leah Rutus. Inspector Kufels was played by Steve Eubles, Edith Bauman by Maxine Howe, George Crossman by David Healy, and the hotel manager by Peter Tudnam. A Story with Pictures was directed by Michael Heffernan.